Welcome to the NFL Talking Heads Fantasy Football Podcast Show. Here are your hosts, Jeff Carrier and Seth Lowell.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to the NFL Talking Heads Fantasy Football Podcast Show. I am your host, Jeff Carrier, and by my side is Seth Lull, and it is that time of season, Seth. We have been talking all offseason, all the way since February and March. It's crazy. We are heading into the final 2 weeks of the preseason. This is when all the main drafts pretty much start happening. These are the main 2 weekends, these upcoming weekends, and no better time than now to get your draft kit. Seth, we did our final upgrade to our draft kit, and we even went ahead and color-coded our projections and fantasy points and value above replacement points with a kind of a color scheme. So we've got a target, avoid, and caution players according to red, yellow, and green. So we can't make it any easier, can we?
Nope, could not be any easier if we tried.
And the idea there is basically we've got the list of all the players and their projections and their value above replacement points. And then we just take it a step further and say, hey, we really like this player. Make sure you kind of target this person. And then you can go ahead and cross-reference that with the draft grid on kind of the target area that you need to kind of go ahead and grab them in the middle of your draft. I don't want to say it's foolproof, Seth, but it definitely helps guide everyone.
Yeah, my wife actually was in a fantasy draft for her work league, and she used our draft grid. I was doing a draft right next to her, and she used the draft grid to take her through the entire draft, and it worked out pretty well. Our team came out pretty good. So definitely easy for everyone out there. Take advantage of the draft grid. It's a must-have for all your fantasy drafts as we get, you know, towards the beginning of the season.
In this episode, we are going to do a mock draft. I mean, what, you know, in terms of getting into real draft season with these upcoming 2 weekends, what is better than actually doing a mock draft live on air, hearing Seth and I's thoughts going back and forth in terms of us making the picks? So we're going to do that. But before we get to there, Seth, we're going to do some film review again. You know, we're going to continue breaking down the tape, continue giving you guys insight in terms of some of the games that you guys are not watching. You don't have time to. It's a second preseason game. This is why you tune into the NFL Talking Heads. Let's cherry pick some of these games, Seth. What did we see? What didn't we see? What are some takeaways from week two of the preseason games? And let's kick it off with the first game of the weekend. Last week in week two preseason was Tampa Bay versus Jacksonville.
Yeah, so if you look at the final score, 12-8, you know, you'd think it was the most boring game ever, which it wasn't the best game in the world. But I think looking at Tampa Bay's offense, and we always say you can't read too much into the preseason, especially when teams are playing bad. I don't read too much into it, but it's never a bad sign when a team looks really good. And we saw Tampa Bay, their offense was firing on all cylinders, looked like a well-oiled machine. Aside from that one, you know, interception that Jameis Winston threw that actually got overturned because they said he was down, he played a near flawless, perfect game into the third quarter. I mean, 21 for 29, 196 yards. He was making some really good throws. Their offense looked extremely creative. Play actions, bootlegs. You know, he had that one play that I really liked where he was, you know, kept his eyes downfield, was moving up in the pocket. And where a lot of quarterbacks that are mobile like him would run, you know, to pick up a few yards, he threw a 7-yard pass to Cameron Brate. So he's content and willing to, instead of running and putting himself in harm's way, to take the easy 5-6-yard pass to move the chains. So I thought Jameis Winston looked awesome that game. O.J. Howard was a good sign to see him catching a few passes in the game. Finished with 3 targets and 2 catches for 28 yards. So, you know, not a huge game, but it is preseason. It was good to see him involved in the offense. DeSean Jackson had a couple of really nice plays. We saw him, you know, the defense respecting his speed. He had that big cushion, and then he caught a couple post routes where, you know, the defense was guarding against the over-the-top throw, so he was able to get those. Mike Evans dropped what would have been a touchdown, but still finished with 5 catches for 57 yards. So my takeaway is Tampa Bay is loaded. You know, their offense is absolutely loaded in the passing game. And Doug Martin, I mean, you were watching the game. Doug Martin looked like an absolute animal.
Yeah.
You know, and I don't want to sound like a broken record. I know it's preseason, but, you know, he – every single time he touched the ball, he was just – he was quick in the hole. He looked lean. He looked skinny and fast. I don't know. I don't remember this Doug Martin.
He definitely popped out off the screen, which was good. I thought Mike Evans even actually looked a little bit lean myself. I almost wanted him to maybe put on a few pounds. But the entire Tampa Bay offense looked in sync, looked in control, which is the exact opposite of what we could say about Jacksonville. And I don't think Tampa Bay's defense, you know, is anywhere near of the caliber of a Denver. So you could say, well, maybe that, you know, it's because they're playing the ones of Denver or something along those lines. The offense just looked out of sync, and there were missed opportunities as usual with the Blake Bortles-led offense. Chad Henne came in and played, and I know that now there's a controversy there, as there should have been for quite some time there in Jacksonville. It gives me a lot of concern with Allen Robinson. He is going to get a lot of targets. He got a good amount of targets in the game alone, but oh my, like 50% catch rate is going to be probably the expectation there.
Yeah, I still think that, I mean, not a great sign for Allen Robinson. I don't think he's going to have, you know, the year that he had in 2015 because Bortles just doesn't seem like the same quarterback. His confidence is shot. You know, looks like he's second-guessing himself on every single play. He missed a what would have been a beautiful play to Allen Robinson right in between the defenders by the sideline. And an NFL quarterback makes that throw 9 times out of 10. Blake Bortles underthrew him. That would have been a big play. Allen Robinson still finished with 10 targets. So if he can continue raking in that type of target share, that many targets, he's going to have a solid season. I just don't think we're ever going to see the 2015 version of Allen Robinson. And I really want to see Leonard Fournette get on the field because I'm very interested to see how he's going to do with this offense, behind this offensive line, because, again, the running game was atrocious for Jacksonville. Two carries for 2 yards, or 2 yards off two carries for T.J. Yeldon. And you see Chris Ivory, 7 carries, 4 yards. So I want to see Leonard Fournette, and I think the Jacksonville Jaguars, you know, are waiting for that too.
And unfortunately, you know, Leonard Fournette is injured in the same foot that that played them for a lot of college, which is one of the reasons why, you know, we tend to shy away from rookies.
Not good at all. Yep. All right. So let's get on to some of the other games here. You know, Seattle, Minnesota on paper, that was a pretty interesting matchup. What do you see in that game?
Yeah, so, you know, I really burned the midnight oil again going through these games, and I probably watch about a half from most of these games, or at least until the starters came out. And the main thing I took away from it is, and I'm not trying to overthink every single game in and game out, but the main thing was that I saw was Doug Baldwin is an animal. And I know a lot of people like him, but I guess this is more of like a reaffirmation in terms of, yes, he's going in the late second round, but do not be scared to take him there. Or even mid-second round if you need to reach for him because the other wide receivers are gone and you just don't feel like taking, you know, one of those other running backs in the mid-second round. Doug Baldwin is an animal. Russell Wilson, without that ankle injury, I don't know what type of impact that had on him last year. We gotta remember, Minnesota has a really good run, just a really good defense overall. And they didn't have one of their corners playing, so that played a little bit of a role. But Doug Baldwin caught 4 passes, was completely in sync with Russell Wilson. Russell Wilson completed 13 passes, went over 200 yards. He was moving around. He was doing Russell Wilson-type things. So both looked very, very exciting, especially since one of the concerns is their offensive line. Eddie Lacy did not look good. Thomas Rawls didn't.
Shocker there.
Yep. Thomas Rawls didn't play, though, because he was dinged up with the ankle. So I think it's going to be another one of those scenarios where they're just going to have to rely more on the passing game than they have in the past, because I'm not too sure what they can expect out of their running game this year. I mean, maybe if Thomas Rawls stays healthy, they'll have those certain games where they can really stick to the run game. But, you know, CJ Procise now dinged up a little bit too. Eddie Lacy being Eddie Lacy, their running game is going to be hard to predict all year long.
Yeah, I mean, I think this could be a year where Russell Wilson finishes the season as a top three fantasy quarterback, it's completely doable with the amount, like you said, the amount that they're going to have to throw the ball. And Doug Baldwin, I mean, I think he is a solid bet to lead the league in receptions. 94 catches last year. His receptions have gone up every single year since 2012. So it just seems like more of the same for Seattle. It's going to be a heavy dose of Doug Baldwin and Russell Wilson every single week. So, all right, let's go to Carolina and Tennessee. What do you see out of the running backs there for Tennessee, the Derrick Henry?
Yeah, so DeMarco Murray didn't play this game, so you kind of have to take that with a grain of salt in terms of Derrick Henry. He looked really good. And, you know, I guess what probably a lot of people would say is, well, we have him in handcuff because if anything does happen to DeMarco Murray, then he could be, you know, easily a top five fantasy back. And I think that was very evident in this game. I mean, DeMarco, Derrick Henry just was able to hit the hole quickly. You know, obviously, sometimes tough to take him down. For the type of size of a running back that he had, he moved pretty well. He probably was the same thing that what Eddie Lacy looked like when he first came out of college, you know? And now Eddie Lacy is, you know, ballooned up a little bit. But Derrick Henry handled the load extremely well, which is probably not surprising to a lot of us. A lot of people were making a lot out of Christian McCaffrey's day. His numbers were good. He looked fast, looked really fast, which was really nice to see on an NFL field, because sometimes when you watch college tape, someone looks fast, be like, well, is he going to look that fast in the pros? And Christian McCaffrey does. Now, a couple of his plays that he had that people are making a big deal out about are completely untouched. I think at least three of them were completely untouched up the middle. And again, you know, I'm not going to make too big of a... Seth, when we talk about Christian McCaffrey, it's never that I don't like the talent. It's always the draft spot, right? Yep. Now, you don't mind the situation in terms of are they going to use him the way that we hope they do, as I do. I would say that watching this game, they're definitely using him. They're definitely moving him around. And just where he's lining up, even if he doesn't get the ball, I see him lined up in the slot. Then I see him lined up all the way to the left, just very similar to how you might see New England used some of their running backs. So that was a very encouraging sign. That being said, this, if it looks good for me, that means it's going to look good for everyone else most likely, which means his stock might even go up a little bit more. That'd be my only concern. But Christian McCaffrey, he's a physical freak, extremely talented. The usage concerns are a little bit less now, but I think what this might do is bump up, you know, his draft stock, and make it even more difficult for me to own any Christian McCaffrey shares.
Yeah, I think you're right about that. I think we'll see how this shakes out in the season, but I think Carolina is going to have a tough time, you know, not giving Christian McCaffrey the ball. I mean, I think he's too talented. He's probably the most talented player on their entire offense. And they need an extra playmaker. They've been relying a lot on Greg Olsen. We'll see if Kelvin Benjamin can bounce back and you know, break through in his fourth year in the league. But Christian McCaffrey could set up to get a lot of touches and do a lot of good things over there in Carolina just because he is so talented. But, yeah, like you said, with all these rookies, as the season approaches, because of preseason, these rookies, wherever their ADP is, it's only going to climb. It's only going to climb for the most part. So let's get to one of the teams that I like, Cincinnati. You know how I feel about Cincinnati. I don't try and hide it. What did you see in particular, specifically with Joe Mixon? What do you see out of Mixon? I know he's your boy.
Yeah, Joe Mixon, just like Christian McCaffrey, really liked him coming out of college. Tried to trade up again, as I always say in my dynasty rookie drafts, and get him. Liked the situation a little bit more, I suppose, but maybe I'm reconsidering that with Christian McCaffrey. The big thing here is Jeremy Hill is still definitely used. I didn't see any Gio Bernard usage, so that was a little interesting. I don't know if he wasn't in the game or what was going on there. I didn't see Gio at all. Rotated between Hill and Mixon. Both looked okay. You know, the running game kind of, you know, hit certain spots where it just didn't look great. And then, you know, sometimes I'd see Jeremy Hill have a play that looked pretty decent. And the only thing I could think of was, well, would Joe Mixon looked a lot better than that? Potentially. I don't know. I don't know how long it's going to take Mixon to completely overtake Jeremy Hill if Hill can do certain things decent. You know, just from, I guess, from an NFL coach's standpoint, if they could trust him to do these certain things right, I have a feeling that he's still going to be part of the rotation. So that's a big thing there. On the other side, you know, as you mentioned, a lot of times with preseason, we see more of these rookies, and that sends up their draft stock a little bit higher. That's exactly what's probably going to happen with Kareem Hunt here. He played exclusively with the ones. Andy Reid said it was by design. I didn't think I saw any Spencer Ware. I did check the box score to just see if for some reason Spencer Ware wasn't playing. He had only one carry. They want to see what Kareem Hunt looks like with the ones, and he looked good. I mean, he looked a lot better than I thought he would, and so that would give me a little bit of pause. That being said, it's a lot easier to look really good when you're getting the ball on every single handoff, you know, and you're in on third down, and Alex Smith needs to check it down. But when it comes to the regular season, Andy Reid's still likely going to be using a lot of Spencer Ware, so that those touches and that usage is going to be a lot more inconsistent. So Kareem Hunt looks really good, and like the running back position as a whole, it comes up to opportunity. And none of us can really forecast how much Andy Reid is going to be using either or running back.
No Jamaal Charles, though. No Jeremy Maclin. Obviously going to be a heavy dose of Tyreek Hill and Travis Kelce for the most part. But it'll be interesting to see how their running back situation plays itself out, because Spencer Ware, not exactly the flashiest running back. His talent doesn't necessarily jump off the screen for anybody. So if Kareem Hunt can you know, definitely pick it up a notch, I think it could be his job to lose, or he could take over that starting job sooner rather than later, just based on the way that Andy Reid likes to do things over in KC, likes to spread the ball around. But as we know, the running back in an Andy Reid offense is guaranteed a lot of catches, which is a good sign for Kareem Hunt owners. All right.
And I was just going to say one last point with just the Cincinnati and the passing game. AJ Green was targeted heavily just right off the first drive, and I don't know what his final box score was, but he had one play taken away from him because they said offensive pass interference. You know, and AJ Green doesn't get a lot of those calls against him. And then he had another one taken away by a complete drop in the end zone. Not a complete drop, but over the shoulder, should have had it, and he dropped it. So, so two passes don't even go on the first drive, and I think he had two other catches. So AJ Green looking extremely involved in the offense.
Yep, six targets total for AJ Green, three catches, 39 yards. Probably a similar type game to a Mike Evans, where, you know, just it's like they never left, right? We see why they are you know, unanimous first round picks. AJ Green in a lot of drafts, you know, I feel like he's slipping further than he should be slipping. Yeah. So, all right, probably one of the more sexy matchups on the docket for preseason week number two was Washington-Green Bay. You know, a couple high-powered offenses. What did you see in that game?
Yeah, I didn't get to see much from Green Bay because Ty Montgomery wasn't playing and Jamaal Williams played. Jamaal Williams, again, looked good. I think you can literally put any running back behind Aaron Rodgers, like Tom Brady. They're going to look decent. That's going to come down to usage. So I don't want to draw too many conclusions there. Aaron Rodgers played a drive or two, looked fine. Everything is normal in Green Bay. A really nice touchdown pass to Martellus Bennett would be maybe the top takeaway. You know, when they get down to the 5-yard line, goal line, they don't have to throw it in. They got another really nice big body tight end and Martellus Bennett for touchdowns. On the other side, though, the announcers alluded to it on their first drive at Washington. Apparently, they struggled a lot in their last game, the ones in Washington and Kirk Cousins, and they continue to struggle starting this game as well. I don't know what is causing this struggle. Their running game is not anything spectacular. You know, Rob Kelly's a very average running back. He's the one who handled most of the carries and touches on the game that I watched, or the part of the game I watched. I've read that Samaje Perine is not, you know, blowing anyone away. So their running game is not up to par. Jordan Reed is injured, as you might expect, on certain parts of the season. And Terrell Pryor, he had his first catch at the end of the first half. So some concerns there. I don't know if – and Josh Doctson was playing too. So I don't know if it's just because Josh Doctson hasn't had a lot of practice time and Terrell Pryor's a new piece. Jamison Crowder was the biggest piece that stood out on the offense, being targeted the most. But nothing was really clicking, and I think that was the issue there. Like, nothing was really helping sustain the drive, and I don't want to read too much into it, but it seems like they're struggling on putting together some early drives early in this preseason.
Yeah, I think Jordan Reed is such a big part of that offense. If he's healthy, it opens up, you know, opportunities for everybody else, and it makes everybody else better. He's that good at the tight end position. So obviously they need to get Jordan Reed healthy, which is always a question mark with Jordan Reed. Not the best sign for Josh Doctson and Terrell Pryor to each only get one catch in the game, two targets apiece. How worried are you with that going into the season? Like, if you are on the Terrell Pryor bandwagon and you believe in his talent, how does this performance, or this lack of performance, maybe changes? Does it change your opinion on Pryor at all?
I mean, if I was super on board and I was okay with the late third round pick on where he was going, and I don't think that's too far off or too egregious because of his upside, I wouldn't be overly concerned with Terrell Pryor. I think they just need to get the whole offense in sync. It just kind of, and as you mentioned, Jordan Reed's a huge part of that, but there's probably something to be said with the continuity that offense had with Pierre Garçon and DeSean Jackson for multiple years, and Jordan Reed in there for multiple years, because their running game is nothing they can rely on. So if anything, there's going to be a lot of Kirk Cousins chucking it around. Kirk Cousins had one really bad pass right across the middle, almost just, he basically just threw it right to the defender, but the defender dropped it. You know, we saw that a lot from him two years ago, I believe. And I don't know. I think they just need to get in sync. You know, we have a lot of unknowns with this offense, and sometimes you forecast and think everything's just going to work well because Josh Johnson is a physical freak, and same as Terrell Pryor. But as we've noted, Terrell Pryor is a 1 year wide receiver from being removed from a quarterback position. Josh Johnson didn't play at all last year, so he's essentially a rookie that hasn't practiced. And then if you put on top of it, they're arguably the best playmaker, and Jordan Reed being out, that's going to be they're going to struggle. The good part is the more time they get doing this, I could see them maybe starting off a little slow in the season, but at some point you would think they're going to click and they're going to heat up.
Yeah, I mean, talk about just two extremes with Washington. You know, they have a tremendous amount of upside. They're going to need to get something out of the perimeter receivers, you know, between Doctson and Pryor. They're going to need to get some production out of that tandem, because especially with Jordan Reed's injuries, you know, Jamison Crowder isn't going to carry him. So that's worth monitoring. It could be a disastrous year if Reed's out, you know, like he normally is, and Doctson and Pryor don't produce. But let's get to our New England Patriots and the Houston Texans. Not the best performance out of New England. What do you see with that running back situation in New England? Because they have Burkhead, they have Deion Lewis, James White hasn't played much at all. What stood out to you with the New England situation?
The running back stood out the most. And, you know, with the offense, and especially how well Houston plays the Patriots offense, I'm not going to read too much into, you know, the drives with New England and Tom Brady. The running backs, Mike Lilsley was not able to play, so Rex Burkhead handled basically most of the snaps with the ones. Deion Lewis played with the twos. I think there's definitely something here with Deion Lewis. Seems to be a level behind or on the depth chart wise with the running backs. I don't know if Gillespie would have been healthy if he would have played, but in preseason week one, Deion Lewis played well into the game with the twos, and then you know, he started playing with the twos after Rex Burkhead. Rex Burkhead brings that type of flexibility that New England has not had in a while. Now, could Gillislee provide that same type of flexibility in terms of being able to run in between tackles and go up for a pass catch? Absolutely. One of the things that was extremely evident is the Patriots are still throwing to their running backs, guys. Do not kid yourself. I mean, they are just too valuable. James White, you know, quick, fast pass out in the flat, boom, caught it. James White lining up all the way to the left. Rex Burkhead caught a monster pass coming out of the backfield and having an angle route coming across the middle. Linebacker couldn't keep up on him. And Tom Brady's just going to take that all day long. So the running backs are going to be active in the passing game. They're high percentage throws. You know New England likes to do that. So Rex Burkhead, I think, has a good chance of being very involved in this running game. I really would like to see if week three, Gillislee and Burkhead are both healthy, who gets that first snap, or how does that look?
On it, because you and I have been preaching, you know, draft Mike Gillislee all offseason. He hasn't played up to this point on a panic meter scale of 1 to 10, 1 being completely panicking, 10 being, you know, not worried at all. Where do you stand right now on the panic meter for Mike Gillislee?
That's funny. One is completely panicked. Did you just flip that around on me?
So let's just say 10. 10 being I am panicking. 1 being I'm not worried at all.
I'm at 6.5. And me and you talked a lot about Gillislee when he was he's a 7th, 6th rounder. Now he's like early 5th. So we also reserve the right to not be as, you know, he doesn't have the same value. That being said, we haven't been able to see him, which is a big, big thing that we talked about, you know, this preseason is what are the things we're looking for? Just get on the field. You know, Keenan Allen, he played, he's on the field, check mark. Gillislee, you have to get on the field in order for me to really want to draft you. Now, he did come back to practice, so that's a pretty good sign. But you know how it is. If he could come back week season 3, he can come and play with New England and he will look great. So 6.5 is kind of high in the sense of I'm coming to the realization that Burkhead is a weapon that they do want to use for 1. 2, his draft stock has risen more than I thought it would. And then 6.5 is not high enough because Gillislee could still arguably be their best running back.
Yeah, and does wouldn't it be so like Bill Belichick to just parade Rex Burkhead out there? Rex Burkhead, you know, turns heads all over the place. Everyone's talking about how Rex Burkhead might be the guy in New England. We haven't seen anything from Gillislee, and then week 1, boom, Gillislee gets 25 carries, gets 2 touchdowns. That would be such a Belichick move. You never know what to expect with Bill Belichick, so Rex Burkhead does seem like a Belichick guy. It seems like he could, you know, have a pretty solid season fantasy-wise. But I think for me, the panic meter, I'd be right at around a 5, you know, close to where you are. I just think that there's a reason they went out and got Mike Gillislee. There's a reason they're paying him that money, and I think the touchdown potential is enormous. So for that reason, I'm still holding out hope. But let's wrap up with Chicago, Arizona. You know, I have an idea, you know, one of the players you're going to be talking about. But what did you see out of the Chicago Bears Arizona Cardinals game?
I didn't see too much from Arizona. Any takeaways? I'll stick to Chicago. Very similar to Week 1, complete dumpster fire. I mean, I'm getting a little concerned with Cameron Meredith in the sense that I don't know if they're going to have a dang quarterback to get him the ball. I don't know if they're going to be able to sustain a drive. Mike Glennon again threw another pick and almost went to a pick 6. Apparently, their second quarterback is Mark Sanchez, not Trubisky. Trubisky played with the 3s. I don't know what's going on out there. You know, they sign about a zillion completely average wide receivers of the Victor Cruises and Kendall Wrights of the world, which I thought, you know, hey, that's a good sign for Cameron Meredith. They're not going to get any targets. And I thought maybe, you know, Cameron Meredith would get low percentage targets, but he's going to get a screaming amount of them. I don't know. Maybe it's because it's not a regular season game, and they're not behind, and I don't get to watch 2 full quarters of complete garbage time. That could that could be very great for Cameron Meredith. So in a short amount of time, I get to see the ones. They can't put anything together. They did play the Denver defense in Arizona, but Mike Glennon, I honestly thought maybe he was a little bit better than this.
Yeah, I mean, I think he needs to play all four quarters in the next preseason game. They got nothing to lose. If there's an injury that happens or whatever, you have Mitch Trubisky. They need to get him the reps because this is a guy who played, in two games last season, didn't play at all in 2015, only played six games in 2014, only 13 in his rookie year. He's only played 21 combined games total in the 3 years he's been in the league. This guy needs to get the reps.
Oh, and I got to bring up this name, too. This guy has stood out both times, by far, jumping off the screen on the Chicago Bears. And this is the Tariq Cohen running back from the Bears. He's a rookie. He is really fast. He hits the hole hard. He had one play where he was running to the outside and kind of looked like it was a stretch run where he might bounce it in, bounce it outside, and completely outran the edge defender to get up the sideline. He looks fantastic. I mean, the sad part with Chicago is actually kind of how good so far the running game has been and how well Cohen has been playing. I don't know if he has any legitimate chance of eating into Jordan Howard's playing time. I have no idea. He could just be a smaller featured role player, you know. And Jordan Howard, of course, had that corneal, that eye something to do with his eye. I'm not too sure, but he didn't play in the game. So again, Cohen was featured kind of like the Kareem Hunt scenario. You know, I don't want to read too much into it because they were feeding him the ball, but he looked fantastic.
Yeah, it'll be so priceless if Cohen ends up being the guy in Chicago after Jeremy Langford was supposed to be the guy last season, and then Jordan, it was the Jordan Howard show. So it'll be priceless if that happens again in Chicago, and I'll be completely off Cohen next year. I'll just call that right now.
But so before we get to now we wrapped up our preseason week two. We're going to go ahead and do our mock draft. It's going to be a 12-man PPR with third round reversal. Pretty excited about that. Before we do that, Seth, let's go ahead and thank our sponsor, Real Time Fantasy Sports.
Yeah, I mean, this is a time of year when everyone's trying to get these, you know, these last few drafts under their belt, right? Whether it's a Friday night, Saturday night, you want something to do, you want to get in another draft because you can never be in too many drafts, right?
Nope.
So these guys have been around forever, and the great thing about real-time fantasy sports is there is a league out there for everybody. Whether you like doing your regular traditional drafts or you want to do, you know, a Draft Masters best ball league where you draft your team, set it, forget it, don't have to worry about the week-to-week management of the team. You just let them go. So everybody go to rtsports.com/talkingheads and enter a draft today.
Great. Now let's get to the March draft. All right, Seth, now we're going to get into our mock draft. It is mock draft season. It is real draft season. But as we mentioned in our mistakes episode, one of the things that you should do before you do your real drafts is actually do a real live draft yourself. Go ahead and pop onto one of these websites, even if it's a best ball league. Go ahead and get some practice in. Seth, we're going to do a mock draft. We're going to walk through pick by pick, kind of giving our thought process on this. You're going to have your team. I'm going to have my team. So everyone's going to be able to listen and actually hear us kind of draft against each other. Now, we're going to do a 12-man PPR, but it's going to have third-round reversal, okay, from our friends over at thedraftnight.com that allows us this flexibility. This is something that we preach to everyone. If you have a 12-man or higher league, more owners, you should be doing a third round reversal. So we're going to go ahead and do a 12-man PPR league. I am going to man the number one spot position pick, and Seth, you are going to man the number 12 position overall. So I'm going to go ahead and kickstart us off here. I've got the number one overall pick. So this is going to be relatively easy for me, as you can imagine. I'm going to go ahead and take David the man Johnson. And as we kind of wait for the computer to be selecting in between us, what's your thought process? Who are you looking for? And how are you going to manage this third round reversal?
Yeah, I mean, I think the third round reversal, I mean, with the 12th overall pick, I'm playing the waiting game for the first round. I am looking at, number one, I'm going to see what running back ones are going to fall to me. Devontae Freeman, DeMarco Murray, Melvin Gordon, maybe LeSean McCoy, but probably not. So I'm going to keep an eye on those. But I'm really looking at Jordy Nelson, A.J. Green, and seeing if I'm lucky enough to get one of them, seeing if one of them will fall to me with the 12th overall pick. So, you know, probably wishful thinking, but we're about to find out.
Okay, Seth, so you definitely got your people you're looking for. You know, I went David Johnson 1, Le'Veon Bell goes number 2 as expected. In PPR, Antonio Brown goes number 3 again as expected. Nothing surprising there.
Julio, yep, number 4. LeSean McCoy number 5. That's a ballsy pick. I love Mike Evans, and I was thinking about it earlier today. Mike Evans, Julio, it's a coin flip at this point. Mike Evans could be the 4th overall pick this year. He was the most targeted receiver last year. You watched, just as I did, the Tampa Bay preseason game. And I know we say don't read too much into preseason, but him and Jameis Winston look like they're in midseason form. He dropped a pass that should have been a touchdown. Still had a ton of targets, so...
We had our Elite Eight, right, Seth, before Ezekiel left. Now we're looking at kind of like a new Elite Seven with A.J. Green kind of rounding out that top seven. But obviously right on the outside looking in is that LeSean McCoy, is that Jordy Nelson type of player where if you are on the back end of the draft, especially on a third round reversal, you're okay taking one of those players because of how close they are to one of those top elite players. Then, of course, on the way back, it becomes a lot easier. So,
wow. Yeah, Mike Evans. We got to update our listeners on the picks here. So LeSean McCoy went 5th, Odell Beckham 6th, Freeman 7th, Elliott 8th. Interesting. Mike Evans 9th. That's ridiculous. Melvin Gordon 10, A.J. Green 11, and your boy is on the clock right now. So I think we all know what I'm going to do here. I am going to select Jordy Nelson as the 12th overall pick, and I have one more pick. So back-to-back picks. Now, I got my wide receiver 1. I'm going to take a quick glance at running backs. DeMarco Murray, Jordan Howard, J.H.I. are all available. You have Michael Thomas, best available receiver. I'm going to go running back 1. And I am going to go DeMarco Murray.
Interesting. So you really wanted to make sure coming out of the gate that you wanted to get an RB1, wide receiver 1, just to kind of give our listeners an idea. Some of the people that you passed up on was a Michael Thomas, Dez Bryant, of course, the J.J. Jordan Howards of the world. What was your thought process on taking DeMarco Murray over them?
Well, he was a top 10 fantasy player last season. I'm not too worried about the whole Derrick Henry thing. I got a surefire running back 1 that I can depend on, and I want to get that position right, so I don't have to worry about it. I want to get my running back 1 done, so I have my wide receiver 1, my running back 1, 2 players that are extremely consistent and still have upside. I like it.
So let's touch on the Ezekiel Elliott too, because he fell to 8th, which is still considerably early. And of course, we're drafting against a computer here, so you have to do. But his average draft position is 2.03, so it's not really that far off. There's a likelier chance that he goes earlier than most people would like to take him than him really falling at this point, because he is still Ezekiel Elliott. Now, Seth, I'm back up on the board. Why don't you give our listeners a quick 30 seconds highlight of who actually went after your pick?
Yep. So after DeMarco Murray, we saw Jordan Howard, Jay Ajayi go back-to-back, Michael Thomas, then Leonard Fournette, Todd Gurley, Dez Bryant, Rob Gronkowski, then Marshawn Lynch in the first quarterback, Aaron Rodgers off the board, and Amari Cooper went right before you, and now you are on the clock.
This is a tough one because actually our boy Doug Baldwin is still available, so this is a pretty relatively easy pick. If I can get Doug Baldwin this late in the draft, it's pretty easy. Something I do have to consider, though, with the third round reversal is I don't get to go back-to-back here. So if I take Doug Baldwin, that means I miss out on Lamar Miller, which I'm going to do because I have David Johnson. So I've got David Johnson and Doug Baldwin. Now the pick flips all the way back to you, Seth.
Interesting. And this is the beauty of the third round reversal when you have, like me in this case, the 12th overall pick. And now, you know, I'm looking at Lamar Miller, who is, you know, a great spot for him.
Yeah, that's tough. You have Jordy DeMarco Murray, and you could pair him up with Lamar Miller if you wanted to right now.
Yep, T.Y. Hilton with the whole Andrew Luck situation, I'm holding off right here with him. Brandon Cooks, Terrell Pryor, I'm not going to go receiver here based on who's available. I'm going to go Lamar Miller, and DeMarco Murray, Lamar Miller doesn't get too much more solid than that to enter the season with both your running back spots filled.
Now you can basically go straight wide receiver, straight BPA for the rest of the entire draft, and especially all with in a full point PPR, definitely as many wide receivers as you wanted to.
Yep. So after Hilton went right after me, then Isaiah Crowell, Brandon Cooks off the board, Tom Brady, so the second quarterback taken. No surprises there. It is the great one, Tom Brady, the GOAT. Terrell Pryor off the board.
So now I need to start lining up some players for myself. I'm going to start lining up my queue here. I'm going to line up Keenan Allen. I'm looking at the back end of the third. The kind of nice thing about third round reversal is I get David Johnson, and then maybe I can take a stab at one of these late players. Although, you know, let's see. You got Keenan Allen. We're looking at running backs in terms of best available. We have Dalvin Cook, Carlos Hyde, Joe Mixon, Spencer Ware, Mike Gillisley, AP. Nothing really standing out there that's going to really grab my attention right now.
You're on the clock. So after Pryor, Hopkins went, McCaffrey, Ty Montgomery, Demaryius Thomas, and Dalvin Cook.
Okay. Let's see here. Let's see what I'm dealing with here is this is the nice part about having the number one overall pick, too, that I keep mentioning is I don't have to worry about running back. Now, Seth, if you didn't have that third round reversal, you would be forced to take DeMarco Murray and then not have an option at running back at the end of the third. But since you had that third round reversal, you get Lamar Miller. And since I had the number one overall pick, I get David Johnson. So I'm okay not forcing my hand with these Carlos Hydes of the world. I've got Keenan Allen, last pick in the third round on a third round reversal. I'm going to draft Keenan Allen. And, of course, my goal later is to get Tyrell Williams. Now, in third-round reversal, at the end of the third round, it flips back to me. So I got back-to-back picks here. I'm looking at a Devontae Adams. I'm looking at a Michael Crabtree scenario. And I think here's a situation where I don't want to overthink it. You know, the best running backs are Joe Mixon, Carlos Hyde, Mike Gillisley. You know, maybe I could force myself and think of Christian McCaffrey or something like that, even like some of these younger, more risky players that has definitely upside. But there's absolutely nothing wrong with Michael Crabtree, who caught another touchdown in a preseason game yesterday. So I'm going to go ahead and grab Michael Crabtree as my fourth player on my team. Now it's going to be heading back towards you, Seth. Let's see. Carlos Hyde comes right off the board here to begin the fourth round. And after that, we have Sammy Watkins, Joe Mixon. It seems like it's really getting thin at running back at this point. You know, it's really tough to really have a lot of confidence in one of these running backs. What do you think, Seth?
Yeah, so that's why I feel pretty good about my running back situation. DeMarco Murray, Lamar Miller, two running backs, you know, barring injury or a bye week, I'm never going to have to switch them out. You know, they're matchup proof. They're going to get carries. They're going to get touches. I like it a lot. So where we are, we see, so you took Crabtree, Carlos Hyde off the board, Sammy Watkins, Joe Mixon, Travis Kelce, Spencer Ware, Mike Gillisley, Alshon Jeffrey, Tyreek Hill, Drew Brees, Allen Robinson right in front of me. I have back-to-back picks, and I'm gonna just look at, you know, best available. We always preach it. Best available running backs are AP, CJ Anderson. Not too impressed with that. Devontae Adams is available. I am gonna go Devontae Adams with one of my two picks, And now I have Jarvis Landry sitting there, but you know, I'm going to look at the tight end situation here. And given that I'm going to have to wait a long time until my next pick, I'm going to take a tight end right here, and I am going to take Greg Olsen, Jordan Reed. Greg Olsen, Jordan Reed, extremely tough. I'm going to go Greg Olsen.
Okay, so you go Greg Olsen with the first pick in the fifth round, Davante Adams, a very balanced team. You've got a couple of your running backs. You've got two wide receivers from Green Bay, a stud tight end. I don't think anyone can doubt the validity of your team. Whatever word I'm trying to say there, Seth.
Yeah. we're always playing that game, trying to figure out what word you're searching for.
There's always
but
many.
Yeah, our team, I mean, you have David Johnson, you're stacked at the top. I got Jordy Nelson, Davante Adams, a Green Bay baby, and then DeMarco Murray, Lamar Miller, Greg Olsen. I mean, tight end is kind of like you got to feel it out because it's a long wait for me until my next pick. And Greg Olsen, it's one of those tight ends, there are certain spots in the draft where it's just a right time to take a tight end like Greg Olsen. I usually don't end up with the number one tight end because of that, or the number, you know, top three tight end, but that was a good spot for Greg Olsen.
Yeah, you've got two of your wide receivers, two of your running backs. You said, hey, you know, let's just go ahead and get a stud. Just for roster composition, you know, we didn't touch on this before we started. It's a one running back, one quarterback, two running back, two wide receiver, and two flex in terms of mandatory starts. And the run on running back set continues with AP, CJ Anderson, LeGarrette Blount, Doug Martin, and Ameer Abdullah going into the fifth round here. And we see this a lot in a lot of leagues, especially, you know, expert type of leagues that are running back centric. I had Ameer Abdullah as kind of a target for me. I figured at the end of the fifth round to pair him up with David Johnson, I would have liked. So he comes off the board. Now I really need to start thinking, how much do I reach for a running back and how much do I stick to the potential best player available scenario? So as I continue to look at the best players available at wide receiver, we have Brandon Marshall just went off the board. Golden Tate, Julian Edelman, Larry Fitzgerald, Willie. Definitely lots of good people still. Then we have Bilal Powell as one of the better running backs that I like, still available. Paul Perkins. I'd like to get these people. We're talking about the end of the fifth round right now. So we're getting into the six. I think Bly Powell's going in the six. I think that's fair value. I'd like to get him in the seventh. But here's a scenario where I know we're not going to get him at the end of the seventh, right? He's one of the best available. So yep. I need to see exactly how much I'm willing to commit here. I think for this case, I'm going to grab another wide receiver, Seth. It just makes too much sense for me not to pass up on Golden Tate. Give me the points. Give me the 90 receptions. Still looking good in preseason. And then as an early six-round pick, when you have someone like David Johnson, you can go and get pure, straight PPR type backs. Like I'm probably not going to mess around with as many of the Paul Perkins type because they have a higher, you know, while they do have a higher ceiling, they also have a lower floor. And when I have David Johnson, I just need to mix and match my RB2s. Just mix and match it. Just pure PPR types, and someone like a Bilal Powell is a perfect fit for that. So is my first pick in the sixth round to combo him with David Johnson to really solidify my running back spot. I feel confident considering David Johnson is my number one. I'm going Bilal Powell.
There you go. And milking the clock at the same time. So.
Yep. You know, I'm just going to make you think about
it. I'm going to have to get on you for that. Yeah, big build up to the pick, making people out there sweat it a little bit. The anticipation, I'm sure, is killing people.
Yeah, and this is very interesting, Seth, because the running backs continue. Just once they start this early, it almost seems like everyone is forced at this point to continue drafting running backs. Mark Ingram, Paul Perkins goes. Eddie Lacy goes. So
Jimmy Graham, tight end,
Jimmy
off the
Graham,
board.
Tight end. They continue to start going, and then you start realizing how deep the wide receiver market is. You're really balanced, two running back, two wide receiver, one tight end. What positions are you looking at?
At this point, I'm looking best available because I got my running backs, I got two receivers, I got my tight end. some receivers that I really like just went off the board. Edelman, Fitzgerald, Snead, back to back to back. Derek Carr, what a reach. Tevin Coleman, interesting. So now I am on the clock. I'm going to take a quick look at the draft board. For receivers, the best available are Jamison Crowder, Stephon Diggs, Emmanuel Sanders. Wow, that's scary. Running backs, Derrick Henry, Frank Gore, Danny Woodhead. You know, I think at this spot in the draft, I'm going to take Derrick Henry because I have DeMarco Murray in part, but I also like the upside. And I want to make sure that, you know, I invested a early second round pick on DeMarco Murray. I want to make sure that I, you know, capitalize and make the most of that investment by also grabbing Derrick Henry. So I'm just going to do that now. It's not sexy. I am going to now look at the quarterback position. Just take a quick look. We have Andrew Luck, Russell Wilson, Jameis Winston. Still a lot of quarterbacks that I like. So I'm going to hold off, and I am probably going to take a receiver right here. So we have Stephon Diggs, who I really like. At the running back position, I do like Danny Woodhead, who is available right now. But I'm going to take a receiver, and that receiver is going to be Stephon Diggs.
Okay, I was really curious to see if he was going to go by you or not. I mean, to me, that was the clear choice. Yep. I didn't want to say anything. Now, Danny Woodhead's still available. Sometimes these things are weird in terms of whatever type of hosting platform you're on, Yahoo, NFL.com, ESPN. It could dramatically change someone's ADP just by someone being above someone. So it's kind of interesting. Actually, you know, we're just doing this live. I don't have this really preset. I think I probably would, on most cases, take Danny Woodhead over Bilal Powell, but they're very close, very similar type running backs.
Bilal Powell has much more upside. And think about the Jets, too.
Like, yeah, he does.
They have nothing else on their entire team. Bilal Powell is the only guy. He could be an absolute stud. Danny Woodhead, I'm just not as high on as you are because I don't think he has the upside. He should be solid, obviously. And if you have David Johnson, Danny Woodhead would have been a great running back, too. Just as Bilal Powell would, but I think you made the right choice. So after me, there's Tyler Eifert, Jamison Crowder, Andrew Luck, Frank Gore, Martellus Bennett, Danny Woodhead, your boy, Russell Wilson, Emmanuel Sanders, Terrence West, and Delanie Walker right in front of you. So the tight end position is starting to get a little depleted.
Tight end position is starting to get a little depleted. And here's a scenario where you have three players going one round, okay? Delanie Walker, Martellus Bennett, Tyler Eifert. Do you reach? Do you go ahead and make a, you know, a reaction pick because of that run? I'm going to say no. I've got Kyle Rudolph and Zach Ertz. I'm going to try and be smart here. I'm going to try and still stick with the positional players that I need to keep putting on my team. And someone like an Pierre Garçon and Eric Decker are the perfect fit for that right now. It's just a matter of choosing which one I want. Let me take a quick look at my team. I got Crabtree, Keenan Allen, Golden Tate. I got some PPR machines. So you know what? Because I got some PPR machines, I'm going to draft Eric Decker because I know of his touchdowns. So I grab him. Now, we're looking at the first pick in the eighth round. I think this is fair value for someone like a Kyle Rudolph-ish type player. I've already got two of my running backs here, Seth. But I'm still looking at Pierre Garçon because of his talent and his PPR upside. I'm still having trouble, but I'm also looking at someone like a Theo Riddick. I mean, again, with his PPR, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to go because of the amount of receivers I have. I've got some decent confidence here in Theo Riddick, who had 80 catches 2 years ago. I'm going to go Theo Riddick, but I hope I don't make a mistake by passing up on Pierre Garçon. I'm going to go Theo Riddick. I think they're very similar type players, and an additional running back would be good. Milking the clock again, as usual.
Yeah, seriously. See, I would say like a tight ends is a tricky position. You always want to go best available, but at that spot, I think you made the wrong decision. First of all, I probably would have gone Pierre Garçon over Decker. And then I think right there, Ertz or Rudolph is a fine choice over someone like Riddick because, and we'll see what happens with the tight ends, but I just think that, you know, it's close, but I think you should have probably gone a tight end there just because I'm all for taking best available. But if the best available is somebody like a Theo Riddick, then just give me a Zach Ertz or Kyle Rudolph.
I didn't want to buy into the run. I really did not want to buy into the run.
I agree.
Let's see how this shakes out. You know, I could get burned. Yep. I definitely want one of these two tight ends. And yep. I just feel like at the back end of the ninth, I should get one of them. I could be completely wrong. Let's see how this turns out.
All right, let's update our listeners on the picks that have transpired. Right after you, Moncrief, DeSean Jackson, back-to-back. Samaje Perine, Jameis Winston, Pierre Garçon, Rob Kelly, Kareem Hunt, Cam Newton, Jerry Maclin, and my boy Kirk Cousins right in front of me. It's like they knew. The computer had to have been doing that out of spite. They know I love Kirk.
And now a big run on quarterbacks, two in seventh round, three in the eighth round, five in the last 24 picks.
And let's look at – this is a great example for our listeners too, because let's look at some of the quarterbacks that are still available. Marcus Mariota, Big Ben, Philip Rivers, Dak Prescott, Matt Stafford, Eli Manning. No reason to panic in a one quarterback league. There's still at least 10 quarterbacks left that are very solid. So I'm not going to go quarterback here with either of my two picks. I am going to look, and you know what I'm going to do? I am going to, you're not going to like this. I'm going to take Tyrell Williams with one of my two picks, in part because he's one of the best receivers available, and in part because it also screws you over a little bit. And as one of my arch rivals, I don't want to help you out or let you get players dropping to you.
Of course you would do that.
Yep. Of course I would. You're right. Tight ends. Best available, I'm always going to look. Hunter Henry, Kyle Rudolph, you know, I'm not too – I already have my tight end. I'm not going to overdraft one of them. The running back situation, interesting. There is not a whole lot there. Jonathan Stewart, Jaquizz Rodgers, Latavius Murray are the best available.
See, this is why I kind of feel a little bit better. I grab my Theo Riddick. He's my third. He's my RB2, slasher with Bobby Powell. That's why I feel a little bit better picking him over this tight end at this point.
Well – so I'm going to contradict myself here. I'm going to go back to the quarterbacks, and I'm going to grab Ben Roethlisberger. And what I'm going to do is I'm going to get a quarterback later to perhaps to maybe spell him if anything happens, injury or whatnot. But Big Ben has a decent amount of upside, a rare amount of upside compared to the other quarterbacks that are left over. So I think he is a good fit for a one quarterback league this late.
So now we're into the ninth round. Four picks in. Right after you is Jonathan Stewart, Randall Cobb, Jaquizz Rodgers. Still no tight ends taken, Seth, after my pick. Devontae Parker, who I had on my queue, just went as well. I've got two tight ends. I'm waiting to fall to me. Hunter Henry just went, not one of my two tight ends. That's the other kind of factor that I was thinking about is that, of course, a tight end could go. Doesn't mean it's going to be one of my own. Marcus Mariota goes. I'm looking at, in terms of quarterbacks, I'm looking at Matt Stafford and Andy Dalton. Once the Jameis Winston comes off the board, I'm okay waiting until one of those two is kind of the next best available. Kyle Rudolph goes off the board a couple picks before me, then a Jamal Charles, and then a John Brown. So falling right into my lap is Zach Ertz. I'm most certainly going to be taking him with one of these two picks. The question is, do I go for Matt Stafford and Andy Dalton? I think I made it. Excellent, excellent decision, not buying into the run on tight ends, waiting for one of them to fall to me, waited 24 picks, one did. Now, do I do the same with quarterback with having Matt Stafford and Andy Dalton both available? I think I'm going to. So let me take Zach Ertz. Let's get this out of the way. Pick again. Now, looking at wide receivers, I've got my boy Cameron Meredith available, then the two tight ends. Got Thomas Rawls, just as an update in terms of running backs. Thomas Rawls, Matt Forte, Jamal Williams are available as well. I think what I'm going to do is this is tough because it's almost like I've got enough wide receivers. I've got the tight end. I got everything. Why not secure up the quarterback and be like, I've got really comfortable at every single position. But for the sake of a little bit of a mock and a little bit of practice, I'm going to go Cameron Meredith. And I'm going to hope that one of these two quarterbacks falls to me because I feel confident in a one quarterback league I can make out here.
Oh, our first defense is off the board. The Denver Broncos have been selected. Thomas Rawls now off the board. I looked at him with the last pick. I really think a lot of people are sleeping on Thomas Rawls. I think Eddie Lacy is going way too far ahead of somebody like a Thomas Rawls, considering that it's basically like a 50-50 chance and a complete toss-up in terms of who, you know, by week three or four, who's going to be the starter. Matt Forte, gone. Jamal Williams, gone. Corey Davis, gone. Philip Rivers taking another quarterback off the board. It'll be interesting to see what quarterbacks are available to you when it gets back to your pick. Texans defense is has been selected.
Yeah, and Thomas Rawls, you know, I think the big thing there, Seth, is these injuries. Already couldn't play the second preseason game. Another ankle situation. Thomas Rawls is a physical freak athlete. He runs with a lot of power. That doesn't exactly help him out when it comes to injuries. But it seems like he can't stay off the injury report. So while I'm definitely on board with you, I think people are sleeping on Thomas Rawls. I like his spot. I like his upside. But there's definitely a concern with him being able to just play NFL games.
Okay. Now I am on the clock. And I'm going to go, again, I'm going to get a little bit nifty here. I'm going to go Darren McFadden with this pick. He is going to be the starter, presumably, for the first 6 weeks until Ezekiel Elliott comes back. So I'm going to go Darren McFadden. Gives me yet another running back that can step in and play right away. That's going to be solid. And now I'm back-to-back, so I'm going to go glance at which wide receivers are available. And it is a motley crew of wide receivers that are available. Corey Coleman, Marvin Jones, Kenny Britt, Taylor Gabriel. Wow. Running backs, Jeremy Hill. So I am going to take a stab at a wide receiver right here, and I am going to go Adam Thielen. Not crazy about this pick, to say the least. He had some big games last year. I do have Stephon Diggs. So, to a much lesser extent, we talk about the Tyrell Williams, Keenan Allen handcuff. I got a little bit of a handcuff for Stephon Diggs. Not sure if I should be bragging about that, considering Minnesota.
That's a tough one, because it's kind of one of those scenarios where you probably can't start them both. Minnesota and their low passing volume type of offense. Stephon Diggs hasn't been exactly healthy the last 2 years, but he's played 13 games the last 2 years. So it's not like he's missing a ton of games like Jordan Reed. At the same time, though, Adam Thielen and Stephon Diggs were both independently successful on a lot of different scenarios and games last year. So it's not terrible. It's just tough when you have two Minnesota wide receivers.
Yeah, and he'll be on my bench. We talked about our bench strategy, right, in the draft grid. And he's a really good player for our bench strategy. You know, that boring, somewhat consistent player that's solid, has a little bit of upside, because we saw some flashes from him last season. You know, maybe he's going to take the next step. Maybe he can take it a step further, but we don't really know. I think he's a solid player as long as you don't have to start him. And for this league, I'm not going to have to start him.
Yep. Week 16 last year, he had 44 points for me in a championship game. So he does have that kind of blow-up potential.
All right. You're on the clock now. Who are some of the best available players that you're looking at?
Well, of course, I'm looking at my quarterback situation late in the game here at round 11. Andy Dalton has fallen to me. So once again, I have
you're just lucking out. All these players following you. Andy Dalton following you.
I have, you know, this is what happens when you know ADPs and you know runs. So let me go ahead and grab Andy Dalton. Matt Stafford, who I would have taken in front of Andy Dalton, did go ahead of him. So he didn't fall. Now, in terms of best tight end, we get the Jack Doyles of the world, Eric Ebron. I've already got my tight end. Taylor Gabriel, Jordan Matthews.
Good luck with that.
Yeah, you know, Sterling Shepard, Josh Doctson, maybe at this point. You know, and this is where you just James White, Marlon Mack, Joe Williams, Jonathan Williams. Interesting. So this is a really tough one. I'm looking at James White and Josh Doctson, I think, the most out of everyone here. And I'm going to go, you know, James White coming out of the backfield in preseason 2 with Tom Brady throwing him the ball. Looks like right where they left off. Looks good. But I'm going to go Josh Doctson because of the upside and because I have David Johnson at the running back spot.
Okay. Josh Doctson, it is. Tough pick. At this stage in the draft, again, none of these picks are sexy. So you're either looking usually at, and you know, positional need that probably doesn't factor in as much, because at this point in the draft you have most of your positions covered. You're usually looking at either players that have high upside like Josh Doctson that can come in and start for you maybe, or you know, if you have an injury halfway through the season, or a solid bench player like we talk about with our bench strategy. Or in your case, you already did Harry have a quarterback, right? So you just drafted Dalton, so that's good. Dalton following you. There goes James White, just taken.
So let me ask you a question too, because you know, we talk about not really getting two quarterbacks in a one quarterback league. I've got Dalton, you got Roethlisberger. We're probably pretty set there. But what about tight end? I mean, it almost fits the same category depending on what type of tight end you get. But you have Greg Olsen. I've got Zach Ertz. They're both, you know, they're the number one target on their team, or two target. You know, Zach Ertz is probably the number two.
Yeah.
But they're potentially tight end ones easily. So yeah. How are you approaching the tight end spot versus like grabbing someone like a Josh Doctson or one of these wide receivers that have upside versus someone like maybe like a Jack Doyle that might be just still lingering around?
Well, I'm on the clock right now, and it's funny because I was just looking at Jack Doyle, and I think I'm going to take him with one of these two picks because, again, I'm looking at best overall player, and the best overall receiver right now is either like a Rashard Matthews, probably Joe Williams, Giovanni Bernard are available. So all things are pretty much equal, and with that being said, in that case, I think I'm going to go Jack Doyle because at this point in the draft, to get somebody like a Jack Doyle, there's no Dwayne Allen there in Indy. Now, we don't know what's going to happen with Andrew Luck, but regardless of quarterback, I think Jack Doyle should be involved enough to where if he is the second tight end of my team, I'm in decent shape, bye weeks, injuries with Greg Olsen, whatever it might be, and also potentially as a trade chip. So Jack Doyle, again, a lot of these picks that I've been making have not been sexy. I am on the clock again on the back-to-back, and I am going to take a glance at who is available.
And you don't have to make sexy picks. I mean, my entire draft, exactly, year in and year out, is not sexy. All right, is Doug Baldwin a sexy pick? No. Is Michael Crabtree a sexy pick? No. Is Golden Tate a sexy pick? No. Is Bia Powell? Is Eric Decker? Is Theo Riddick? Are any of my picks sexy? No. But week in and week out, my floor is so high that you better come out swinging.
I am on the clock again. And not only do you take forever with your picks, you make it impossible for me to make a selection because you're talking. So I'm going to go Joe Williams here because I am 100% on the Joe Williams bandwagon, and I'm not getting off now. So
I'm jumping off. I've actually jumped off of the Joe Williams. He's still running behind Tim Hightower. I don't know what's going out there in San Francisco. Are they trying to fool us in thinking that no one likes Carlos Hyde, but they're actually going to give him the ball all year? Tough to say.
I will say at that spot, Rashard Matthews is not a bad spot. You know, but not a bad spot to take him either. You know, we are talking about the 13th round, so
let me tell you three people I've got queued up here. I would be extremely happy at this stage of the draft to have them: Cole Beasley, Gio Bernard, which I think people are still a little bit sleeping on. I didn't see him in the preseason week two, but you know, at this part of the draft, he's free, he's healthy, he projects to be maybe their best pass catcher. I know Joe Mixon is a good pass catcher too, but he knows the system. And then Rex Burkhead. So those are the three people I've got on my board. A couple picks away, and let's see if I can grab two out of these three players. I feel pretty good about it. And all right, so let's see here. So yes, it is my pick, Seth. I'm going to grab two out of these three. Look, I can add some running back depth and even another PPR guy like Cole Beasley. So that's exactly what I'm going to do. Cole Beasley, one of the most efficient, as we talked about in our last episode, fantasy points per snap and route.
Favorite stat.
Anything with snaps and anything with route running is obviously my favorite stat. So he might have more routes ran if obviously they don't run the ball as much with Zeke not in the game, playing for the first 6 weeks. And then I'm going to get Rex Burkhead, the ultimate upside pick. Looked great in the second preseason game in New England. Very natural pass catcher out of the backfield. Can run in between the tackles. Gives New England, and what Bill Belichick said himself, something they haven't had in a long time, and that is basically forecasting or prototyping what their play might be depending on the running back in. We talk about this all the time. Seth, well, why take out this running back in if he's a lot more balanced? Because if you have a LeGarrette Blount in, is there a chance that you're going to throw to LeGarrette Blount? No. If you have James White in, is there a chance that he's going to be running it up in between the tackles? No. So it's a lot easier for the defense to prepare and know what play you have. Someone like Rex Burkhead, for example, though, he brings that balance that New England hasn't had in a while.
Yep. You are all over Rex Burkhead. And I looked at him, too. It was him or Joe Williams. At this point, again, I'm looking more for upside. Because I have running backs.
I don't know how
like
much more upside a 14th round Patriot running back has than anyone else in this draft.
Well, that's what I'm saying. So I already had McFadden, the Derrick Henry / DeMarco Murray, you know, whoever's the starter, and then Lamar Miller. So I'm not going to take somebody like Rex Burkhead who isn't as much of a handcuff as he's going to be. He's going to be solid all year. It's not like a Derrick Henry where you're waiting for someone to get injured for him, right? Because there's so many different backs in New England. So I'm looking more for upside, and that's why I took Joe Williams. But it was a tough choice. I definitely had Rex Burkhead. I was eyeing him. So I'm on the clock with the back-to-back picks. And wow, it is a – so I'm going to go two players here. I'm going to go Kevin White, strictly upside. At this point, mainly just upside plays. And then with my second pick, I'm going to glance at running backs. And a couple interesting – three rookies. We have Donta Foreman, James Conner, Alvin Kamara. I am going to take James Conner for a couple reasons. Number one, he is the handcuff to Le'Veon Bell, which, as we've seen in recent years, that's the best handcuff in all of football. And with Le'Veon Bell, you have the contract situation. You know, he's probably going to be there for week one, but who knows? And then he's been known to get injured in the past. So, again, shot in the dark, going upside, taking James Conner.
Okay, and now let's see here. James Conner. Yeah, the tough part, you know, with a couple people on your team, Seth, is and you have a couple bench high floor people like Adam Thielen, which is good. The tough part about every bench that everyone should think about is how long can you hold on to them? Because you can't hold on to everyone forever. And the nice part I think about Rex Burkhead is hopefully because he has been a veteran and he's been healthy all offseason and in training camp, we can see what his usage is week one, you know, if everyone's healthy. Joe Williams, James Conner, specifically James Conner, I mean, he's a pure handcuff as straight as they come. So about to be my pick. Backup tight ends are flying off the board. And as we kind of wrap up this draft here, Seth, let me make my last two picks here because right before after this we get to the kickers and defenses that we'll draft. Best available running backs are about as low as you can get here. As you mentioned, Donta Foreman, Deion Lewis, Alvin Kamara, Charles Sims, Alfred Morris, you know. This is interesting. I might take a shot at Alfred Morris just because, again, let's just see how the week one play goes. Maybe Darren McFadden gets hurt. Darren McFadden, I believe, has hurt himself getting out of the shower before. So you just never know. So you know what? Now that I think about that, let's get Alfred Morris on the team. You just never know. Deion Lewis, I'm not opposed to grabbing more than one Patriot running back because, again, who knows what happens. If Deion Lewis is not even touching the ball week one, I drop his ass. But that's something that I can make that decision on. But one player that's obviously got a little bit high upside here, a lot of talk, as a rookie from Northern Illinois, I don't want to buy too much into it, but at this stage of the game, with my last pick before kicker and defense, is Kenny Golladay. So I'll go ahead and take
him. Big shocker there.
Yeah, big shocker. So, Seth, as we've kind of finished up this draft here, just some quick thoughts in terms of these runs and the whole everything that's, you know, the players, where they went and so forth, your team and so on.
I mean, players going, I think everything looks pretty standard. LeSean McCoy going a little bit high right inside the top five. There was the run on tight ends to an extent. Not really a run on tight ends, just a consistent flow of tight ends being taken every round. Definitely a run on quarterbacks. You know, nothing too out of the ordinary. I think a lot of it depends on roster construction. With it being a one quarterback league, I took Big Ben because I felt like he had a lot of upside. At that position, he has, you know, he has those big games. He's getting Martavis Bryant back. He's got a ton of weapons. So like Big Ben there, our teams are really different in the respect. I mean, you had David Johnson. It's such a big luxury to have David Johnson because everything else just fits nicely around him, right? He's that big of a stud.
Yep.
So your receivers, you're locked and loaded with Doug Baldwin, Keenan Allen, Michael Crabtree, Golden Tate. I mean, your second running back is Bilal Powell, which is solid. I think depth-wise, I definitely have a little bit better depth considering, you know, I have Jordy Nelson, Davante Adams, and then I have Diggs and Tyrell Williams. You know, I got solid. I think my team is solid all the way through. Yours is a little more top-heavy, but I think they're very comparable.
Yeah, I love your Diggs pick. You know, he's going to go anywhere. He's someone that fluctuates from draft to draft in terms of going really early or potentially falling as he did in this spot. I think the third round reversal kind of shows how important to, maybe not important, might not be the right word, but how it helps balance out the draft, especially at the back end. You get Jordy. You know, would you have liked to take one of these receivers over DeMarco Murray? Maybe. But you take DeMarco and get Lamar Miller. That sets the tone for the rest of your draft in terms of continuing to draft these receivers and Davante Adams, Stephon Diggs, etc. So, and then getting, you know, the stud tight end and Greg Olsen. So, yeah, I mean, I think we're both really happy. Both have different teams, as you mentioned, which you would expect from one of us having the number one overall pick and one of us having the 12th overall.
Yeah, I think I like your team a little more just because David Johnson to me is the thing that tips the scales in your favor because he is just so much better than any player I have, or you know he's your best player too. So I think that making a case for your team, it would be David Johnson as you know being the building block. If I was to make a case for my team, I would say okay, Greg Olsen, significantly better than Zach Ertz. You know that is something in my favor, and then I still think Big Ben. Is significantly better as long as he's healthy than Andy Dalton. So I think that, and then my second running back being Lamar Miller, depending on you know Bilal Powell's a little bit of a question mark. So I like that in my favor too. But now this draft is in the books. Looking at both teams, I'd probably give the edge to you mainly because David Johnson.
David Johnson is a big one. We each have our slight edges. You know, Roethlisberger on any given weekend, I was thinking about this recently, Seth, with Martavis Bryant, you know, does that help him out a little bit more on the road? Does those three games with Le'Veon Bell, again, help him out maybe a little bit more earlier in the season? That's going to be really interesting with me. Can Roethlisberger help out his home road splits and push himself into a potential top five quarterback? I think he has the potential opportunity to do so. And considering where you have to draft him, which is behind Winston and Cousins, it's a very solid late option.
Yeah, and I agree. And I will say my team, like I felt like I was making a ton of unsexy picks for a while, but I also felt like they were smart picks. Like right after the Greg Olsen pick, right? I'm like, okay, I got Jordy and Davante Adams, DeMarco Murray, Lamar Miller, and I got Greg Olsen. Awesome. And then I took Derrick Henry because, all right, I have DeMarco Murray. Derrick Henry has a lot of upside as a handcuff. And who knows, you know, maybe there could be some weeks where I play both of them if I have to, right? You know, we saw last year with LeSean McCoy and Mike Gillisley. And then Diggs, Tyrell Williams, I'm like, all right, like I like them. I don't love them. The Darren McFadden for the first 6 weeks. But you factor in like the fact that Darren McFadden is the starter for the first 6 weeks like that. Jack Doyle is my second tight end. So there's a lot of things about my team that I liked that I think on paper just doesn't look as good. But when you think, you know, and you put it in context and you think about, you know, situationally why I made some of those picks, I think it makes a lot more sense.
Yeah, one of the best part about like with my team is this PPR focus. I mean, David Johnson, he's catching 70, 80 balls. Doug Baldwin, 80, 90. Keenan Allen, barring health, of course, he took Tyrell Williams from me. Big question mark there, but, you know, if he's healthy, he's a potential 100 person. Michael Crabtree, 80. Golden Tate, 90. By Powell. Even my running backs are catching more passes potentially than some of these other wide receivers. And then Theo Riddick. My floor in a PPR league is going to be pretty high. And again, that's the type of league Seth, you know me for, is I'm never going to be the higher scoring person in a league. I just hardly ever am. I just don't have those gigantic blow-up weeks that, you know, covers a lot of ground for those lower, low scoring weeks. But week in and week out, it is so hard to beat me because I'm always in the top 3 to 5 in terms of scoring that you have to have a really good weekend. And that's how I like to build my teams. And I think this is just a good example of the type of people that you can focus on, that you can target to help establish yourself as a week in, week out, consistent, high scoring team. And Seth, that's going to wrap up our mock draft. Hopefully everyone enjoyed that. And until the next time, we are the NFL Talking Heads.
Thanks so much for listening to this episode of the NFL Talking Heads Fantasy Football Podcast Show. Try saying that three times fast. With your hosts, Jeff Carrier and Seth Lull. We'll catch you next time.